Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q1 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Robin. Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Utkarsh Management Team for giving us the opportunity to host this earnings call. Today we have with us Mr. Govind ji, MD and CEO, Mr. Satyu, CFO, and Mr. Puneet, Head of Finance. I would now request Mr. Govind ji to take us through the Q1 FY24 earnings highlight, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Renish. Thanks for this introduction. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Limited, and thank you everyone for taking out time to attend our investor call post-IPO. At the outset, I want to express my gratitude to everyone for making our IPO a grand success. As you are aware that we started this journey as a microfinance company in September 2009 from Varanasi, and got Small Finance Bank license in 2016, and then commenced our banking operations from January 2017. And as you are aware that now we are a listed bank. We started from Varanasi as there are significant opportunities in surrounding geographies of UP and Bihar, considering the significant under-penetration of financial products in that geography. Coming to our quarter one FY24 numbers, we have witnessed a healthy business growth and operating environment during the quarter. Our loan book and deposits grew by 31.4% and 35.6% year-on-year, respectively. In terms of loan book composition, we continue to build our microfinance franchise on the back of strong understanding of our core geographies and our rural and semi-urban franchise. Around 85% of our microbanking branches are in rural and semi-urban locations, which provide us competitive edge to build microfinance in under-penetrated geographies. We have added 15 microbanking branches in quarter one of FY24, and overall close to 100 microbanking branches over the last one year. We were a little cautious in new customer acquisition during COVID phase, with normalcy, you know, in operating environment from FY23. Focus is back on acquiring new customers. Number of customers have grown by 2.5% quarter-on-quarter during this period. The slower disbursement in the current quarter in microfinance segment is one of technical reasons. That is, the pipeline for our subsequent loan cycle was lower in this quarter. Normally, more than two, you know, senior customers are due for final loan disbursement, final loan maturity in each quarter, while in quarter one FY24, it was less than 1 lakh customers, as disbursement were low in quarter one FY22 on account of COVID, and more than 85% of our book is with two-year maturity. Our individual loan product, which we say MBIL, you know, to existing mature JLG customers, continues to good traction with year-on-year growth of more than 150%, with strong asset quality of less than 0.5% gross NPA. We continue to build digital experience for our microfinance customers through complete digital onboarding, e-sign, e-KYC, digital collections through customer-specific QR code, micro ATM, and other offerings. We continue to build our differentiated branch strategy, that is microbanking branches, focusing more on microfinance business in rural and semi-urban locations, and general banking branches, primarily in metro and urban locations, and focusing more on deposit acquisition and other retail assets build-up. There is significant potential to build our other assets like MSME, HL through our microfinance franchise, which we keep exploring as these products are maturing. Our differentiated branch strategy not only helps us in, you know, offering relevant products to our customers, but also helps in ensuring cost efficiency of our operations. We are also building our retail loan products, which are MSME, home loans, and wheels. For MSME lending, currently we are operating from around 80-odd outlets, significant headroom available to expand within existing franchise. Our core geography has significant potential for this product. After getting good experience and having a book of more than 1700 crore, as of now, we have confidence of building this further in little more informal and underpenetrated segment. We have introduced micro LAP products and over time expect granularity and yield of this book to continue. Currently, more than 94% of our MSME loan book is secured loans. In the housing loan segment as well, we are operating mainly in one notch or half a notch below the main prime customers. As we build experience, we will be deepening our presence more in informal and underpenetrated segments. We have deep franchise available in our core geographies as well as other target states to build this further. In the wheel segment as well, we started from our core geography of Uttar Pradesh, expanded to Bihar, Jharkhand and NCR to begin with through SCV segment, and now deepening our presence in LCV segment as well as UCV segment. Overall, we will continue with our strategy of starting the journey from our core geographies and then replicate, build the same in other geographies. In the wholesale lending segment, we are focusing more on the small ticket SME lending, where you can say average ticket size of less than 5 crore, wherein we become primary sole banker to the customer, meeting working capital funding and securing our exposure through a hard collateral cover of over 100% in all the cases. In case of NBFC lending, we continue to operate primarily in entities rates in A or above or higher rating category by external rating agencies. There are nil delinquencies in our wholesale lending portfolio. On the liability side, we have expanded our franchise significantly. We have opened 64 general banking branches over last 1 year and more than 110 general banking branches over last 2 years. Out of total 257 general banking branches, currently around 44% branches are less than 2 years vintage. We believe we will gain significantly over time as these branches mature. As a strategy, we want to be in top 100 districts of the country for liability acquisition. We have seen good growth in retail term deposits year on year as well as in quarter on quarter basis. CASA growth and CASA share impact was more on account of interest rate environment. We expect this to build as branches mature. We maintain tight control on institutional deposits as we are having surplus liquidity of more than 2,000 crore as on June 30, 2023, and because of which overall quarter on quarter deposit growth was around 2%. Year-on-year deposit growth was healthy at 36%. We continue to build digital experience for customers through complete digital onboarding. More than 95% of lightly customers are onboarded through digital onboarding in quarter one of FY24. We were the first small finance bank to launch UPI Lite for our customers. In the liability segment, there is a significant scope in our home market. We have a strategy of building a significant market share in some of our home markets like Varanasi, Patna, Prayagraj, etc. All these districts have significant deposit potential. Furthermore, we are continuously working on improving granularity of and broad-basing of our institutional deposits profile. Our concentration to top 20 depositors declined from 20% in March 22 to 21% as on March 23. We have raised equity capital of 500 crore through IPO. With this, we have sufficient capital available for our growth plan. Overall, we are witnessing stable financial performance as reflected in ROA and ROE of 2.3% and 21.1% respectively, and successfully building on our strategies of creating stronger franchise for our microfinance business as well as for MSME lending, housing loan and wheels lending. We have rolled out salary increments for employees from April 1 for this year. Last year, we did this from 1st of July, and to that extent, there is additional cost in this quarter. We continue to invest in our people, presence, process, products, and technology. Our last 2 years, we have opened more than 270 branches and expanded our franchise. We will look to significantly scale up these branches over next 1 to 2 years. On our medium to long-term strategy, we would like to highlight following. Microfinance remains our core business for us, and we think that still, it will be more than 50% of our portfolio at the end of FY26. And within microfinance, the microbanking individual loans, which are mature customers so far, could gain scale and maybe close to double digit contribution, considering large JLG customer base, which we have. our loan book growth, which was 31% for last 1 year, and deposit growth of 36% year on year, we see adequate growth opportunity in our businesses and geographies, and to that extent, growth may remain in the same trajectory. Cost income ratio, we expect that it will remain in the same trajectory what we had seen in the FY23. In terms of ROA and ROE, I think we expect that ROE will certainly be above 2% and ROE will in the range of around 20% for this next 1 to 2 years time. That is what we are expecting. So this is from my side, and my colleagues want to add something, they can do. Otherwise, we can open for question answers.
Thank you, Govindji. I will supplement a few points along the commentary that Govindji gave. Clearly, the Utkarsh Small Finance Bank has created a platform over the last 7 years and also bringing in more than 14 years of microfinance experience into the bank. And with this capital that we have recently raised, it helps us to augment our expansion plans and play on our strength to capture the opportunities available here from. Two specific points I would again supplement what Govindji said, that we are very firm on our focus to continuing bringing banking services solution to the underserved customers in the rural and semi-urban segment, and we see a longer growth and profitability path from here. Also, point number three to supplement before I give you the little granular details of the performance, financial performance of quarter on quarter, is our liability franchise that we are operating with 257 general banking branches in the top 100 cities, complements well with our secured book expansion that we are doing through these branches. Now, let me quickly take you to the quarter-on-quarter results on a year-on-year basis for June 23. What I will do is very quickly run past the key performance indicators, and I have broken up this into four buckets. Operations, capital, asset quality, and profitability. On the operations front, we are currently operating with 851 branches, which we call banking outlets. So these branches were 690 immediately at the previous year and quarter. We have added 161 branches in last 1 year from the end of previous quarter to current quarter. Our headcount was 13,300 previous quarter year end, which is current quarter is 15,900. We almost added 2,600 employees. The point I'm trying to drive is there is investment in infrastructure and people others well as we see pre-COVID growth coming back and business coming back as usual atmosphere. Our total gross loan portfolio as on Q1 FY24 was 14,394 crores against 10,951 crores, a 31% YOY growth. The mix of the gross loan portfolio was 75% micro banking and 25% non micro banking, which is primarily a secured book last quarter end. This year, current quarter, June 23, the mix, while we focus on, establishing and more penetration in our micro banking, we also see that our secured advances are growing at much faster pace on a lower base. And therefore, the current mix is 63% micro banking and 37% non-micro banking, which is primarily materially a secure book. Our total deposits as of current quarter and June 2023 is 13,967 crores against 10,297 crores, a YOY increase of 36%. Our CASA on a standalone deposit basis has grown 20% year on year, and our retail term deposits on a standalone basis has grown over 51%. However, the CASA to the total portfolio as on June 2023 is at around 20%, and CASA plus RTD is at around 62%. What we believe is that this 257 general banking branches, out of which Govindji mentioned, that 64 we have created over the last year and another 50 odd which we have created a year back, are the branch which will mature and give us momentum and traction in our CASA deposit and RTD, such that we believe that with efforts around 3 years' time, we should inch up the CASA to, say, 35% and CASA and RTD to, say, 75 to 80% as we grow our base of advances and deposits. On the capital front, our net worth is 2,110 crores. Our capital adequacy ratio as on June 2023 quarter end is 19.83. We have not added the profit that we have earned in this quarter of 107 net profit after tax. If we add this profit, our capital adequacy ratio stands at 20.88%. Coming back to the third bullet, which is asset quality, our gross NPA has been improving quarter-on-quarter, which is at 3.13% as of the June quarter 2023, which is significantly improved our 5.73% in the previous quarter end, and it has also improved our Q4, which was 3.23%, and our net NPA is sub 0.5%, which is at 0.33%, improved our 1.66% on the previous end quarter, and it has improved Q-on-Q also from 0.39%. Our provisioning coverage ratio is at 90%. Now, my last bucket of performance, I would speak about the profitability. We have got a profit of after tax 107 crores in the current quarter against 89 crores comparable previous quarter, which is a rise of 20%. Our yield on advances for the current quarter is 18.8%. Net interest margin is 9.16%, and cost of funds is around 7.55%. If I subtract yield on advances at 18.8 to my cost of funds, which is 7.55, we are operating in the current quarter at a spread of 11.25%. I would also wish to draw your attention to slide 27 in the investor presentation, where we have given quarter-on-quarter trajectory of these three ratios. You will see on the yield basis, at a strike base at 19%, we are almost 90% through and through the five quarters that we have shown. Cost of funds at a strike of 7% plus minus 25 to 50 basis point is a consistent around the same numbers around the five quarters. And NIM also is consistently, in fact, it's not gone down by below 9% over the last four quarters trajectory. Now, quickly moving into cost to income ratio. Cost to income ratio is 57% for the current quarter. If you really look at and at 51% the previous quarter, one would look at it that it has inched up. But there are two points that I would like to clarify. One, that we have established the branch of 161 new branches this quarter, and our addition of headcount, all the costs is loaded in the current quarter because this has happened from the end of previous quarter to the current quarter. Also, the fact that we have yet to harvest the benefits of passing on the hardening of the interest rate to our lending book. We are operating currently on our GHG portfolio at 25%, which was on the previous quarter at 23%. So while we go and do disbursement at a higher yield of 25%, including the yield on other products at a higher yield compared to the previous year, and do productivity measures, we will see the cost to income ratio also improve. But while we also continue to invest in our technology, which will be a spread of around 54% to 55% range of our cost to income ratio. Govindji mentioned about return on average asset, which is 2.27%. Again, on the slide 27, we have seen that the return on average asset has always been upward 2%, and return on equity has also been upward 20%, which is 21.05 as of the June quarter end. Lastly, before we begin, while this is the first call after the IPO, so I wanted to set the preamble. I'm sure there is curiosity on the business numbers by vertical. But lastly, we would want to say that during the COVID period, FY21-23, we were growing at a CAGR of 28%. Another learning that we have brought into the financials from the COVID era, as we know that the microbanking business has actually the highest intent of repayment, but swan event like COVID does create a stress. The outcome of that learning is that we are creating an additional provision in the financial year 23-24 and done in 22-23 and continue to do in 23-24, which was 1% of our JLG book as overlay provision over and above the IRAC norms. You saw the 80 crore of provision done in 22-23, and we expect to do 1.5% of our JLG book, micro book, as on March 23, which is leading us to about 106 crore of provision as of June quarter, over and above the IRAC provisions. With this, I think reiterating the fact that we would wish to keep our KPIs around the NIM of 9%, ROE 2%, ROE 20% around, ROE of 2% and NIM around 9%. Our business model is being structured to see that we continue to give consistent performance. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making us more aware. I'm sure you are looking forward for some Q&A and we will take those questions. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Congratulations on good performance and thank you for taking my question. So, sir, my first question is on microbanking portfolio. So, while you explained why the growth was soft in the quarter, so how do you look at growth for the full year? And again, on asset quality in microbanking, we haven't seen much improvement in buckets despite we haven't done some material write-off in the quarter. So, is it the case that our PAR is higher? So, as I see, I mean, our PAR seems to be slightly higher than our peers despite operating in better markets of UP and Bihar. You can explain this.
Okay, so as far as, you know, growth part is concerned, we expect our usual growth to be around 20%, you know, and in micro, in especially the GLG part, if you look at, that is what we expect. I mean, industry does talk of maybe a little higher growth also, but especially because our ticket size is more controlled than many of the players you must have seen. So we expect that's the range, you know, I'm talking of GLG for this year, the growth will be in the range of 20%. As we mentioned during our, first interaction, that we are also focusing more on the MBIL, which is individual lending product, where we are expecting a faster growth because of maybe one reason is that it is a low base also. We have around 387 crore at the end of June. So do we expect that this will have a more than 150% growth, if you look at this financial year. But overall, 20% odd growth is what we expect in JLG on a medium-term horizon, you know, from our side. In terms of slippages or in terms of PAR numbers, PAR numbers were, you can say a little higher if you look from the quarter one angle. But overall, I think we are seeing a good significant improvement across. And our sense is if you exclude the write-off cases or the NP cases where there are demands from those cases also, our overall collections is in the range of 98.5%. The net looks 97%, but it is 98.5%, and we expect that this will improve from here by maybe another 5.5% or so in the quarter two. So overall, whatever numbers you are seeing for quarter one, we'll see significant reduction in quarter two across. In fact, there will be significant improvement or increase in the portfolio and significant decline in the overall stress or overall NP numbers for quarter two.
Okay, sir. And the second question is on the new products, the retail, your MSME, housing, CBC. So when I look at your pricing, the pricing is almost near the prime customer pricing. But when I look at our NPA performance on a lagged basis, say 1 year, 2 year basis, our NPL seems to be slightly elevated versus the pricing we charge. So then how are we looking at the contribution from these products in terms of profitability over the medium term? Would they become significant contributors and by when?
So we expect that in next 18 to 24 months time, you know, one is it all will be contributed in the bottom line also. Today they are contributing top line, but they will contribute in the bottom line also. That is one part. Second, you rightly mentioned that we started with Alvan, who is a prime customer, but near prime. I mean, these are maybe one notch lower than what you can say best of the banks are offering. And that is why maybe our returns are little lower than, you know, some of the peer group. But after getting experience of last few years time, and you can see now we have got a base in terms of whether we talk of affordable housing or whether we talk of wheels and we talk of MSME also. Now we have close to 3,000 crore overall book, you know, from these segments. Now we are also going to, you know, you can say more granular book and also a little, you know, one notch lower also. And we expect that our returns with return side, and that is also starting happening gradually, in fact, because in overall balance sheet, it may not be visible, but that has already started happening. So our growth in terms of overall ROE, the return on the return on these portfolios is going to grow from here. And at the same time, you also mentioned about the stress, you know, stress in the in cases. In when we started in some of the pockets or some of the cases, there is no, you know, there is no set pattern for this. But in some of the cases, when you initially start this, there may be some issues, and the, I mean that is also reflected because it, overall the book size is small. We don't expect any you know surprises, as I mentioned in case of microfinance. In this case also, we expect a much lower you can say NPA numbers or DPD numbers going forward. Even in quarter two, you'll see a significant reduction in the overall whatever slippages we have seen in the retail loans also. So one, the growth rate will improve from here. The ticket size, the yield will certainly also improve because gradually you are able to pass on these costs to the customers. And overall, the slippages or the overall NPA numbers will come down from here. So all these will contribute. And as I mentioned, in next 18 to 24 months time, we expect a significant contribution of all these three verticals, which we have started during last 3-4 years time, in the overall bottom line of the bank also.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on successful listing. Sir, I have three questions. Firstly, on overall growth, while you guided for the JLG book to grow 20%, and within that, if I look at the overall book, do you see 30% kind of growth in the medium term?
Yes, certainly, yes. As I mentioned, you know, our AUM growth has been in the range of 31%. Even CAGR for last few years, if you look at 3 years' time, it is around 26-27%. So we are confident that 31% will be shared up, you know, better only, and it will not go beyond and below this, at least when you are looking at next, 2 to 3 year horizon, for sure. And the way you also mentioned, Gaurav, 20% is coming from micro-banking part. And because in other asset classes, our base is low, so the growth rate for those asset classes will be higher. So on a blended basis, certainly it will be above 31% what we have achieved during last financial year.
Sure, thanks. So second question is with regards to margin, and here I would like to look at some data points that you have shared in the presentation. The cost of funds has inched up to 7.6. Within that, I just wanted to understand, you mentioned cost of deposits, cost of term deposit is at 7.9. So is the TD repricing completely done? Whatever rate hikes that has happened on the TD side, is it completely reflecting in that 7.6, the cost of fund that we reported, or there is some some batch of TDs which will come up for repricing in the next couple of quarters?
So, Gaurav, basically, we will break this into the institutional term deposits and the retail term deposits. So, repricing on institutional term deposits is largely over. On the retail term deposits, we have, a broader maturity of about 20 months to 24 months. So, on retail piece, about half of the term deposit repricing has happened. And balance half maybe would happen over next 2-3 quarters.
Okay. So by Q3 you should see the peak of cost of funds.
That's correct.
Okay. And let's say from 7.6, will it be like a 20-30 basis point, or will it be higher than that? Let's say the peak, the cost of funds that we are seeing today, 7.8, 7.9, that should be the peak based on your calculation.
It should be below 8%. This is our sense.
Okay. Understood. And on the yield side, simultaneously, if I look at the growth trajectory in this year, you're seeing the JLG book will grow at 20 and the remaining portfolio will grow much faster. So the share of microfinance will come off. So in that context, what kind of yield should we look at? And also on the repricing of the MFI book, has that completely happened? Have we first increased our card rate, due to the change in norms and now that we allowed risk-based pricing, have you changed the yield in the MFI book? And if yes, what kind of, repricing is left in the MFI book?
Right. So considering the hardened interest rate cycle, we had increased lending rate in microfinance by 1% from November 2022 and by additional 1% from 1st of April 2023. So as of now, the repricing hasn't happened. So if you see, only about 20% of our book at current rate of interest, and balance 80% is basically 1% lower. I mean, 40% is 1% lower, and additional 40% is 2% lower. So maybe in about 9 months to a year time, we would see microfinance lending yield improving by at least 100 basis points from where we are as of now. And second, just to clarify on the microfinance fee, so basically what we are saying, the JLG growth is about 20%. MBIL growth would obviously higher on a smaller base. So overall, micro lending fees may grow by, let's say, 22-23%. And both the pieces as of now are running at the same rate of interest. So to that extent, this would support overall yield on advances.
Understood. So is it fair to assume that over next one year, whatever inch up in cost of funds that we see or that we may see in the coming quarters, that could be partially or fully offset by the improving yield? So net-net on...
Fully offset.
So 9.2 margin that we have seen broadly, we will maintain for full year FY24.
Yeah.
Actually, it will go up. Gaurav, it will go up. I mean, 9.2, I'll say it's a lower side, you know, because of maybe we had a lot of expenses in, I mean, new expenses during quarter one, you know, and which will start giving yielding results in next quarter two and quarter three. So we expect that this will go up, and this may be in the range of, say, 9.4 to 9.5 for sure for this full year.
Also, Gaurav, due to our... Yeah, hi Gaurav, this is Sarju, and I was just adding up that also on account of the fact that we have a, you know, this capital which has come in and our CRR has improved significantly at the higher rating. I think our cost of funds, we should on the refinance and should be able to refinance or reprice it favorable to the bank. So that should also play an upward impact.
Okay, understood. Sure. And just the final question on asset quality and just extending, you know, Rajiv's question, is there any seasonality to the slippages that we see in 1Q for your portfolio, and hence you're saying that in Q2 and Q3 this stress will moderate?
So there's a specific seasonality. Maybe, you know, some pockets and some places we had some delays, and, you know, as I mentioned, the activity level was little lower. So it's not specifically seasonality, barring, you know, very, very small portion. But, you know, we are seeing that in many of the cases, we are seeing a good, you know, collection happening, or the repayment or the collection for, you know, which are already under DPD, there is a significant improvement. In fact, this will be on the lines of what has happened during last year. So we do expect that you might see that there is an elevated, you know, if you look at NPA or overall credit cost number, this will come significantly lower than what you have seen in quarter one. If you look for the whole year, we expect that credit cost should be within, say, 2% or so, and that is what we are confident of.
Sure. And the 2% that you're guiding includes the floating provisions, whatever we make.
Yes. Yeah. So whatever number give, you know, I mean, even for months or quarter, a floating provision is a part of that cost.
Okay. So, sir, today the floating provision is around 1%, slightly higher than 1% of the MFI book. And by the end of this year, you are saying it will be 1.5% of the MFI book.
Correct. So, but just to clarify, it will be around close to 135 crore only for JLG, and then there is some statutory requirement also. So, it should be in the range of 150 crore or so, I mean, a few crore here and there at the end of March 24.
Okay, understood. So this 2% credit cost guidance includes the additional 40-45 crore that we'll be making.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct.
Great. Understood. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the very best.
Yeah. Thanks, Gaurav.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Jetani from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen, and thanks for the opportunity. So first question was on the collections and any delinquencies are you facing in North India, considering the flood situation? So any pockets or any regions where we are facing any difficulties in collection?
So far, you know, the pockets where we are having our microfinance portfolio, we have not faced any delinquency. We had some delay, you know, one of the reasons why there are some slippages, we had some delay in handling some of the, you know, repossessed vehicles and those type of things. But that's a very, very small isolated place. But if you look from overall our business and more importantly the microfinance, our entire geography is not having any issue as far as the floods are concerned. You know, the geography which we cater to, so there is no impact of floods this year so far. I mean, obviously, we don't expect future also because it's already, you know, first week of August is over. So this year, we don't expect any impact, even temporary, which is normally temporary, any impact of floods this year.
Got it, sir. That was really helpful. And sir, one piece on the contingent liability. So today, oh, sorry, on the provision, what kind of extra provisions do we carry on the book?
So if you see, we have an additional floating provision of about 106 crore and standard provision, which is little higher than what is required as per RBI now. So overall standard provision, we had about 65 crore.
Got it. And the last question from a 3 to 5 year perspective. So when I draw parallels from other banks, you know, from a mid-sized bank, many of them have been talking about, say, we would like to reduce the share of gold loan or X kind of category of loan, but that hasn't been the case. So what gives us confidence that we might go slow as far as the MFI is concerned, that piece will grow at 20? Is the category penetrated in our regions or we are going slow in particular kind of category of loans? I wanted to understand the broad perspective from a 3 to 5 year timeline.
No, the one thing, we are not going slow in microfinance. I think 20% growth with our base, you know, we have 26 lakh customer base. So our idea is this is reasonable growth, and we keep repeating that, you know, this microbanking individual lending, that is what we see the future. The customers are mature customers with, you know, 5, 6, 7 years with the bank. So that portion we think will grow faster. So we are not looking any, you know, lower growth of microfinance. Our ticket size is normally lower than industry historically. And one of the important reasons is that we are more in the semi-urban rural area. So we are not, I mean, microfinance is one thing we understand the best, in fact. So we'll always be focused on microfinance for sure. Besides, we may not be looking that much in things like gold loan. Our sweet spot will be more about the smaller ticket size loans and the MSME segment, the affordable housing segment, and wheel segment, where I think, you know, especially the geography which understand the best, there is a good demand, and we can do really good in those few segments. So if you look from, if you are talking of, say, 3 to 5 year horizon, I mean, obviously things will, you know, evolve over a period of time. But besides microfinance, MSME, housing, I mean, that too, largely affordable housing, wheels, and the small corporate where we are able to give, you know, collateral-based loans, hard collateral-based loans, and where the customer becomes our primary customer for working capital. These are 3 or 4 things which will be focus area. We'll have product improvement in the some, for example, we have started micro lab now. We started with the normal lab, but we are also looking at micro lab, especially there's a big market we can see in our core geography of UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh in that area. So micro lab, and we have not done unsecured lending, we have done limited unsecured lending. We are re-looking at unsecured lending so that our yield can go a little better. So this is how the type of composition of at least lending book we are looking at. Gold, we are not looking that aggressively because anyway, we are not seeing gold, you know, overall book also on the industry level growing that much. Important point is that one of the important thing for us remains that we are the differentiator in terms of the geography will always be helpful to us. We all are aware that, you know, there is around 1% credit overall for Bihar type of states, which is almost 9 crore plus population. UP is around 4% of overall credit. So I think we see a good opportunity in these. And after becoming bank, I think we have seen, you know, good growth in other verticals also besides microfinance.
Got it. So that was helpful. Sir, one question on the ROE tree. So we are moving from a MFI category of loan, which is a 20-21% yielding loan, to other categories of loan where yields could range anywhere between 13 to 17-18%. So from a ROA perspective and to maintain the current ROA, what kind of credit cost are we expecting in the regions where we operate, the state of Bihar, UP, even if you move or dissect our AUMs into some other categories, what kind of credit cost do you anticipate? So not from now, but say when the mix significantly changes from MFI to other categories.
So the way we look at, as we had said, for financial year 24, we are talking about a credit cost of sub 2%. And as, let's say, the portfolio moves more in favor of the secured businesses like MSME, HL, right, the credit cost piece will come down, and the another leverage to ROE tree would be the cost income ratio, or let's say the operating cost. Obviously, the operating cost for microfinance business is higher, and these businesses also, I mean, which are new, let's say MSME, HL, the processes which we have set up, the teams which we have set up, little higher. So these costs will also come down, I mean, as this business gets scaled up. So to that extent, from ROE perspective, both these would be contributors. One is lower credit cost, maybe by 30-40 basis point as the business mix is changing, and additional 30-40 basis point coming down because of, again, the lower cost in the MSME, HL and other businesses.
Got it, sir. So that was really helpful. And one last question from my side. Say, historically, banks which are largely MFI heavy, they typically have income shocks and they see some provisions going up. Maybe not every year, but every third or fourth year. So according to you, at what mix of MFI, we believe that volatility in the provision number will go off?
So one thing, if you see, we have done basically is to create this floating provision buffer. The thought process behind this floating provision buffer is basically to basically, let's say, come out of this vulnerability or volatility in the provisioning requirement. So what we think, basically, we should definitely set aside something every year from our normal profitability to keep a buffer, let's say if there is an event kind of a risk. So that this uncertainty from a higher provisioning perspective or impact on profitability perspective goes out from P&L and balance sheet. And secondly, as you also said, as we are moving, let's say, more diversified loan book, which is, let's say, both secured and unsecured mix, the right mix anyways will help us keeping, let's say, the volatility little less than what probably we have seen, let's say, in a portfolio which was about 90% microfinance. So both these will help us to a very large extent in terms of this volatility in provisioning and the profitability.
Got it, sir. And what would be a write-off policy? 270 days, 540 days?
So write-off in unsecured, which is the microfinance segment, we basically do write-off once NPA is more than 1 year and there is no significant collection. And obviously in a secured business, we assess write-off basis the security available to us, basis the collection effort, basis the collection feedback.
Got it, sir. So thank you so much for replying to all of them and all the best for the future process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Maruti Nandan Sharda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations to the management for a great set of numbers and thank you for taking my question. I just want to understand that the amount which we are writing off every year, I believe majorly it will be on account of unsecured loans. So if I compare this with the average loan book, average unsecured loan book, what percentage it will be and what is the industry standard for this? And then one more question in addition to this is this, once we write off these loans from our books, what's the probability of recovering it back, getting it back in the system? Based on your last, let's say, 5 to 10 years experience, what will be all these things? Thank you.
Okay, so taking your second question first, basically, which is the recovery prospect from the return of pool. So what we have seen so far is there is recovery of about 15-20%, which comes even from the write-off pool. So whatever we written off during the demonetization period or let's say now in the COVID period, essentially we have seen about 15-20% collection eventually coming over a period of 2-3 years. And second, I mean, from a, let's say, the write-off as in relation to the overall loan book, so obviously during the COVID period, it is little higher. But if you go back, let's say, the before COVID period, our credit cost and write-offs were less than 1%, even when our book was about 90% unsecured. So what write-off we have seen in, let's say, in 23 and now, basically, which is coming from COVID. And so on an average basis, as we earlier highlighted, the collection efficiency in microfinance business on the regular contract have moved to about 98.5%. And so to that extent, in a normal business environment, not a significant proportion or percentage is expected to be written off.
Okay, great, great. And I have one more question, which is basically regarding, you know, a longer time frame, let's say next 3 to 5 years timeline, Can we grow this business at a CAGR of let's say minimum 25 to 30% on top line and bottom line basis?
Yeah, certainly. If you look at the medium term horizon, what you are talking next 3-4 years time, certainly yes. You know, as I mentioned, we are growing. We have grown last year 31% plus, and we expect this year growth should be higher than that. So if you look at a CAGR for next maybe 3 years or so, certainly 25 to 30% is certainly doable. And we have created enough machinery for doing that during last 3-4 years time. The new verticals we have created and the type of teams we have created and the type of geography we operate where the immense requirement and opportunity, I think 25 to 30% on a medium-term basis is not a challenge.
Wow. That's great to hear from you guys, and you guys are doing really fantastic work, and I wish you all the best. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good evening and congratulations. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on the deposits front, you mentioned that you are looking at targeting some of these urban centers like Patna, Varanasi and Prayagraj. Can you talk about what is the traction on deposit acquisition here? Maybe you can share some numbers around what is the market share that you currently have on deposits in these centers, and where do you expect that market share to go from here?
So what has happened, initially when we started our liability franchise, we were focusing this area as well as the entire country. We were in 26 states and UTs. But we later realized that obviously what happens typically in case of deposits, you get a much bigger number from the geography. When I say UP, Bihar and that area, because we are there for a long time. And when you go to other places like say it is Maharashtra or NCR or Chandigarh and Jaipur type of places, there we get less number of accounts, but the ticket size is higher. That is how the composition of deposits have happened. Maybe around one and a half years earlier, we realized that, some of the geography where we are deep into and where we have good brand because of our, we are there for last 14 years now, we should focus more upon these geographies. So currently we have some branches and the penetration level of, the market share in terms of deposits is maybe less than 1% also, because, we are a new bank and it takes a little longer time to build value in these accounts. But our idea is in places like Prayagraj or Patna, Varanasi, even we are talking about places like Dehradun and Gorakhpur, adding to some of these centers, we expect that we should be able to reach maybe around 2 to 3% market share in next 1.5 years time at these places. We have put specialized teams in those places so that we can acquire customers. We can, in a very focused way, we can acquire customers. We are trying to do more marketing activities in these places so that, especially I'm talking about retail side, because wholesale, sometimes we are not competing in wholesale in this area. I'm talking of the retail side. And that is what we are doing. We have a larger sales team we have put in place in these places where we acquire more and more customers. And also there is a big focus on the, value accretion in the existing accounts. So our idea is that next maybe 18 months or so, we should be able to have 2 to 3% of retail market share in some of these markets.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. Another question on the loan mix front. If I look at the geography-wise split of the microbanking book, around 73% of the book is from UP and Bihar. How do you expect that share to change over time?
So what is happening, we have seen some changes in this market. So if you break into two parts, one is the value and second is in the number of customers. Actually, the number of customers is coming down faster than value for a simple reason, because we started UP and then we started Bihar. So these are the oldest geography for us. There's a ticket size of the people because they have taken 3 cycles, 4 cycles, even 8 and 9 cycles also. So ticket size for this area is bigger. So that is why the in terms of overall amount, this is coming down faster, whereas in terms of number of customers, it is coming down faster than the value. We don't expect much significant reduction if you look at only microfinance space. Overall, we look at the overall my advances, then obviously it will come down faster. But if it looks in terms of only microfinance, UP may come down shade lower than this, because UP is a large state and we are only currently in the eastern UP only, and we don't intend to really go in terms of market share below this. In fact, currently we are not even 1/3 of UP that we cover from. In case of Bihar, we expect that around 3 to 4% decline in next maybe 1 to 1.5 years as far as the value of this is concerned. because we are seeing that now subsequent cycle loans are coming to states from new states like Odisha or some of the states which we have servicing for last few years like Jharkhand or Chhattisgarh, some pockets of Madhya Pradesh, and lastly states of Rajasthan also. So it may come down by 3 to 4% in case of Bihar, and maybe around not more than 1-1.5% for the state of UP. That is in terms of value what I'm talking of.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And one last data keeping question. If you can share the proportion of your microbanking customers who are unique to us, proportion of customers who are currently borrowing from one other lender to other lenders and so on, if you have those numbers handy.
So broadly speaking, we have around 25% more than 25 customers and who are unique clients to Utkarsh. That is the number we have got. And I don't think you have to ask.
Yeah, so basically about 25% customers are unique to us. Then additional about 40-45% customers are basically Utkarsh plus one. And if we see overall Utkarsh plus two, which is the three lender mix, which is about close to 95-96%, and the balance 4-5% piece is the three plus.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Puneet.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducia Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. My phone's coming off.
The current participant in the queue seems to have dropped from the question queue. He will proceed with the next question, which will be from the line of Shailesh L. Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had only one question with respect to reverse merger. Any timeline on that and way forward given that our holding company is an unlisted company? So if you can shed some light on that.
So, you know, this is little, you know, thing which is not yet, I'll use the word, where the decision has been taken or where it has been, you know, thought through completely. The bank and, you know, the holding company board as well as the bank board, they intend to explore this possibility and contemplate whether and when to do this part. So there is no final decision taken on this part. So I may not be able to go beyond that as far as the reverse merger is concerned. Certainly, you know, now RBI says that 26% you have to achieve in 15 years time. So there is a much longer window, you know, from RBI side also. So currently no decision has been taken at either of these places. So maybe we'll have to come to you once the discussion happens at both the places and we decide, you know, about next course of action in this case.
So just to follow up on that, so is it safe to assume that it is not something which is going to happen in short to medium term?
Not in short term. I mean, medium term difficult because, you know, even suppose, you know, someone decides to go for it, it takes around 15 months time. So it cannot happen in short term. But yes, medium term is difficult to predict right now.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Karpe from Shriram Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity and congratulations on the strong listing. My first question is actually on the collection efficiency commentary that was made earlier. So actually I missed that commentary. The collection efficiency has come in at 97% and we have talked about a number of 98.5. You could just explain.
So if we just break this 97% collection efficiency between, let's say, the regular or standard customer or the NPA pool. So collection efficiency for the standard pool is about 98.5% and NPA pool obviously it is about 30%. So the combined collection efficiency is 97%, but if we look for only, let's say, the standard pool, it is close to 98.5%.
Okay. And going forward, we expect this collection efficiency on an overall basis to improve?
Yeah, we expect that. I mean, again, you know, subject to a lot of things, but the way we are seeing traction in market with the client, we expect this to grow, improve at least 0.5% in next 2 to 3 years time. Not to three, 2 to 3 months time, sorry. 0.5% in next 2 to 3 months time.
Okay. And I also wanted to understand what is the mix of borrowers in terms of vintage, so the disbursements that we are doing, how much of it is going to the old customers who have seen 2-3 cycles of disbursements and new borrowers, both in terms of disbursements as well as the UM as well?
So in terms of if you see the first cycle and the subsequent cycle mixed in terms of number of customers, so as we said that we started focusing on new customer acquisition from last year. So right now the mix is about 30-70 with respect to, let's say, the new customer and the subsequent cycle customer in terms of number of customers. And if we, let's say, see the cycle-wise breakup, so right now the customers which are there in about 2+ loan cycle are about 70% of our total portfolio, and 1 and 2 is about 30%.
Okay, great, great. And my last question pertains to the reverse merger. So with the last question answered, so the reverse merger process, we have not started it, because if we have not started it yet, then it will still take 18 months, right? So when are we expected to start the reverse merger process?
No, as I mentioned that, you know, it is based on the boards of, you know, both the companies and investors. So that decision is yet to be taken. It's not that we have started the process. They are contemplating, they are exploring whether, you know, which, I mean, what are the other options and when to start and whether start or not to start. So a decision is yet to be taken on this part. You are right. I mean, it may not take 18 months. Once it is decided, maybe, but still 15 months time normally takes to complete the whole process. I mean, broadly speaking. But that decision is yet to be taken. So I think maybe, you know, when investors and the board members at both the places, they take a decision, then we'll be able to tell you the timelines it can actually take.
So when can we expect that decision to be taken?
At least not in this quarter. Normally my sense is, you know, they will be meeting and discussing this in next 2 to 3 months time. That is my sense.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Govindji for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for all of you to attend this. On behalf of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank, the board and the management, you know, you have always been, you know, extremely helpful and supportive of the institution. We have tried to build a very good institution out of Varanasi, and we see a lot of opportunity in terms of in this space where we are operating from. And you must have seen in terms of governance, in terms of transparency, and in terms of overall performance, we have been among the better ones or the best ones in the industry over a period of time. And that is what we can assure all the investors, that we'll continue to do that part. In case you have any follow-on query questions, you can come to us directly, or to ISEC also you can come, and we'll be more than happy to respond to you. So once again, thank you very much for attending this call, and, you know, for putting your faith in Utkarsh and the management. So once again, thank you very much, and see you very soon again.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.